far more precious than silver. Amen. Amen.
And Lord, you are more precious than silver. And Lord, you are more costly than gold. And Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Sing that again. Lord, you are. Oh, Lord, you are more precious than silver. And Lord, you are more costly than gold. Nothing I desire compares to you. One more time, Lord, you are. Oh, Lord, you are, Lord, more precious than.
Desire today compares to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Shout to the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing with all our hearts to the Lord today. Amen. We just want to lift him up on high. Amen. Comes the day, saints, when we won't be able to gather together like this. But amen, we want to do it all we can now. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. worthy.
Amen. Amen. We just have a reminder of next Sunday we'll be having communion, so we'll be having two services there. Amen. And also we'll be having prayer this Friday, unless otherwise changed. And we have one testimony here. Praise the Lord. Amen. From our sister Lord Laney, it says, I would like to thank the church for sponsoring me to go to camp. I had lots of fun, and the services there were great. People received healing and got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thanks again. Amen. So just praise God for that. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. We also have Brother Ty. We asked him to give a little testimony there. We usually say it's TTWT, Tickle Time with Ty, but this time it's Testimony Time with Ty. So praise God for that. Amen. Just give him a round of applause.
Well, I do have one testimony, but I'm a little nervous, so. Wednesday night, it was during the service, and the preacher was saying something about having a new testimony, and I was trying to think of one, and I just couldn't think of any testimonies. So he kept saying, if you can't think of one, you gotta ask God to give you a new one. And I kept asking God to give me a new one, and he gave us experience that he had, that he wanted something from God, but God wanted him to give something back. And he kept telling the preacher to run, and the preacher didn't want to run. He kept saying, can I just walk around the church, or can I just praise you or something? And God kept saying, you're going to obey me, or you're not going to get your blessing. So when I was asking God to give me a new testimony, he just told me to praise him. And I was praising him. I closed my eyes, and I was lifting my hands to him. And if you guys don't know Brother Woosley, Matthew Woosley, he was having the same thing. He was asking for a new testimony as well. And God told him to come pray for me. And he didn't ask me what I wanted, but he just came up and prayed for me and just asked the Lord to give me a new testimony. And I was just thanking God, because he didn't even know that I needed that, but God already knew that I needed the new testimony. So just thank God. Just bow our heads to the Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for just calming my nerves, Lord, trying to give a testimony, Lord, and Lord, the devil kept trying to tell me not to do it, Lord, but it was your will to do it, Father. And Lord, we're thankful for the testimonies, Lord, of the people that went to church camp, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for blessing them and blessing me, Lord. And Lord, just pray you just keep blessing the people that went, Lord. And just thankful for everything that's going on, Lord, that you're doing, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would come down and preach to us today, Father. The words of life, Lord. We pray, Lord, that not just Cam would surrender, Lord, but us as a church would surrender to you, Father, Lord. And we're just thankful, Father, of you just willing to come down and preach to us, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I mean, I have that same testimony. I mean, we just want to have new testimonies daily. Amen. Amen. Because we've got to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by our testimonies. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Lord, I lift your name on high. How many just came to lift up the name of the Lord today? Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you came to save us. From the grave to the sky, Lord.
just sing that song, He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay, amen.
Amen.
How many know he's molding you today, amen? He took you out of that, all that clay, amen, to make you a vessel, amen.
Amen.
My heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day, and he brought me out of the miry clay, he set my feet on a rock to stay, Amen. Let's just sing that song, I'm running for my life. Amen. How many are running this race? Amen.
Amen. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Are you running for your life? If anybody asks you what's the matter with me, just tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and I've been baptized. I got Jesus on the inside and I'm running.
Let's just sing that song as our brother Camber prepare, amen. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, amen. When you look back over your days, you've had a lot of friends, good friends, amen. They're good people, but there's nobody that can do you like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They can't save your soul, amen. Amen.
And can't nobody do me like Jesus? Can't nobody do me like the Lord? Well, can't I'm feeling down here. Ghost, and he told me to run on, but they failed me with the Holy Ghost, and he told me, oh yeah, they failed me with the Holy Ghost, and he told me to run on, oh yeah, can't nobody, oh no.
Oh, do me like Jesus can, nobody. Oh, do me like the Lord. Well, can nobody. Oh, do me like Jesus. He's my friend. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he told me to run on. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he told me to run on. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he told me to run on. He's my friend. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and jump into the Word. Amen. Time's a little far spent here, and we'll just go right ahead and get into the Word of God this morning by the grace of God. And just certainly good to hear testimonies of those things that you come from camp. Amen. And, sure is a blessing to have those opportunities that where we can send the young people to there. And we just pray that God continue to work in their lives. Amen. And just bless the sacrifices of the parents that had to lose their children for a week. But anyway, it is a pleasure to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. We love God with all our heart. Amen. Good to see all those that were able to press out on Friday night to help the church. Amen. And try to get some things done around here. And we did do a pretty good job of that, if you ask me. But looks like we're trying to get this thing buttoned up as speedily, as quickly as possible at the last minute. So we've given so much grace that it could almost be called a disgrace. But by the grace of God, if we gave grace, God will give grace to us. So we should be all right there. But anyway, doing our best, amen, to try to get those things done. So thank you, brothers, for all the work that you've done. And we just ask that God would help us to finish the work. Amen. And we can get on with a lot of other things that we plan to do. So if you have your Bibles while we're standing, we'll just jump into the Word now. I'd like to go to John 1 this morning. John 1:11. After that, we're going to go to Hebrews 2, verse 9. Going to kind of continue on where we were moving on Wednesday. I was following an inspiration there, but today we'd like to just add a little more emphasis to those type of things, and and I take you in a little bit of direction. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. So in John 1:11, it says here, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's a powerful statement there, isn't it? I read that so many times, and sometimes when you read it again, it's just boom. Wow. And, of course, in the 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Let's move to Hebrews 2:9 very quickly here. Try to get you to your seats as fast as possible. It says in the 9th verse, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He tasted it for me. He tasted it for you. Oh, I just love the word. 10th verse, it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. Amen. How many say, God, I want you to speak to me this morning? Amen. Is that your desire? Would you just pray with me? Let's say a little prayer to the Lord here that He'd bless the reading of the Word here. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning, God. As God, we realize that God soon will be passing, O God, from this curtain of time here, O God, and will be moving into the eternal hereafter, God. We just ask, Lord, this morning, God, Lord, we know what perfects us. We know what brings us to an establishment of who we are, God. And God, it is this eternal Word, Lord God. And we just ask this morning, Lord, You'd speak to us, God. Move us all aside, God. And God, may there not be 1 ounce of unbelief in this room, God. But may we believe in the same God, the same Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, God. And may this same God who spoke through Paul, God, who spoke through, oh God, Moses and God, every prophet of the Old Testament, those in the New Testament, even Timothy, God, that same God that spoke, may He come and speak this morning, God. Oh God, we have need of Thee, oh Lord. And Jesus, Lord, I can't put nothing together, God. I'm just a man, God, Lord. Neither can this church, oh God, do anything, oh God, to merit, oh God, some sort of a grace, God. But You gave that grace, God. You, oh God, chose us, God. You're the one that said, God, that You would never leave nor forsake us, God. Lord, we just heard Your voice, God. But we're so happy that we heard it, Lord. I just ask, God, You'd certainly, Lord, as we've enjoyed Bible study, those this morning that were able to make it, God, we just ask, God, You'd allow the Word to come into us even more this morning, Lord, as we move into service, Lord. We just pray, bless this time, bless this fellowship, bless this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Good to see all those able to make it to the house of God this morning. Amen. And if we had, we're going to continue to move this morning into just a little bit of the thought of the church age book within Pergamos. And this is kind of where I was wanting to go Wednesday, but the Lord just kind of grabbed me and kind of took me. So That's all right when that happens, I think. And I'll be honest with you, if God wants to grab me and take me this morning, I'm kind of depending on that. So, but we just want the God of all ages, the Ancient of Days, to speak to us and just have His way. Amen. So anyway, if we had a title for this morning, we'd like to give it the title, To As Many As Received Him. Amen. Very simple thought this morning, but we want to move into a few things that I pray will be a blessing to you. But our first thing we want to do is establish kind of maybe a little bit where we left off and just understand a few things that we are looking at. Because remember, when we're looking at the church ages, we're looking at literally what's going on in our life. Amen. Doesn't matter which church age you take it to, it's going on in your life. Amen. Because we realize that by the grace of God, that there is a spirit that God allowed to be on each age, amen, that would what? Give the believer in that day, He would give them the strength to overcome that by the Spirit of God. He would send a messenger. They would have to receive that messenger. And by the grace of God, when they overcome, they receive the reward of an overcomer. Amen. So anyway, we're not going to be perhaps just dwindling too much on that this morning, but we want to work with Pergamos a little bit here again and just kind of perhaps bring a few thoughts out of there. Now, notice what Pergamos was. We know that Pergamos was an age of false doctrine. It was an age of drifting away. And on Wednesday night, we understand even in the salutation of Pergamos that when Christ introduced himself in deity, he introduced himself as the one with the double-edged sword. Amen. He was the one with the Word of God, amen? And we transpired a little bit on the Word, and by the grace of God, we spent some time on that. And then on Wednesday, we dealt with the Word again and started looking at a little bit more of the things, because the way that Pergamos got off more than any other age before it, it took them off the deep end into false doctrine, okay? Now, we don't want to ever get caught in false doctrine ourselves. We want to be right on the Word of God. We want to stand established on that Word. Amen? Praise God. And because we've accepted the message of this hour, we believe that we've walked into these things. Okay? Amen. So I pray, just give me a little bit, moment to free myself up a little bit. And we'll allow ourselves to let go in just a moment here. But if we had to perhaps move into this thought, remember what we were dealing with on Wednesday is that it come forth in the church age book by the prophet of God that literally that Jesus Christ never stressed the works, but Jesus Christ knew that if you got the word, that you would get the works, amen? And that's kind of what we're looking at here, amen? I'm not perhaps so concerned about the works if the Word is not established in the bride, amen? And we should be those type of people that when we look at ourselves, we should not just be staring at the works, we should be staring at the Word, amen? And if we have accepted that Word, then what? The works will just naturally come by, amen? But we understand in order to have the Word that there's a place that you will have to find that is by reception, right? You will have to receive the Word, amen? You just can't find yourself in a message church and say you've got the Word, amen? You must have an experience with the Word person himself, amen? And that comes by revelation. That comes by what? By not a stubborn heart or not a rebellious spirit, which the Bible says is as the sin of witchcraft. But it comes to those who are willing to receive the Word. And the Word is always rejected. Amen. So we know this day that there may be a small number that are in this Word, but we want to make sure that we are in that small number, right? As we've went through before, you study and comb your message, you will find out time and time again, your prophet never says that at the end days it will get larger and larger. He says it will get smaller and smaller, right? So we know that this is not a popular thing to be in the Word, amen? But we know this day as well in Matthew 24:24 that it also states that it would be so close it would deceive the elected if possible. Now, remember, we're dealing with Pergamos here. Pergamos is not the happy, shouty type of age that we're looking at here, unless you're looking at Martin. Because Martin makes you want to jump and dance and shout just looking at the mighty things God did through him. But we want to recognize what was going on and establish what it is that is trying to take a precedence in our life, right? We want to know exactly where we're seated at. And we know right now that we are seated at the coming of the Lord, okay? And because we're seated at the coming of the Lord, there's a work that God has to do. But He's also what? He's allowed the Word to be restored so that those could hear that Word and allow that work to make them full of works. Now, let's turn to our Bibles here. As we jump into this a little bit, let's go to John 6:28 if we could. I say I got a lot of scriptures and I got a lot of quotes this morning, but I will not fully get into everything. I do guarantee that, okay? So notice in John 6:28, it says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" So notice here, and this is actually right before they depart, the 70 depart, but here they come forth and they say, what might we do to do the works? We look in our life, we say, God, what must I do to do the works? Is there anyone here who does not desire the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Could we be called a Christian and not desire to have the demonstration of the Holy Ghost in our midst? Amen. But being a Bible-believing people, we have what? We have a longing in our heart for the manifestation of God. And where do you see the manifestation? The manifestation must come from you. Right? Because we know the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if I've got some faith, I better have some works. Amen. But notice here what he says in the 29th verse in John 6. He says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They want to work the works of God. They ask how, but the answer is clear. Now remember, we are right here in Scripture getting ready to watch them leave Jesus Christ. Everybody's interested on the works. Right? They come back rejoicing. And Jesus, Jesus, they said, oh, look at all the, there's healings, there is this, there is that. And Jesus even said, I seen Satan fall as lightning. But he said, rejoice not because of the mighty works, but rejoice because your names are on the book of heaven. Amen. So notice here, that they come and they want to know, but Jesus gives them what? Here they are, the manifestations of God all around them. Here we are, seated right here. And you look at the desires and the motives. God, I want to do something for you. And notice how perplexing this is. They ask this question, and he answers them like this. If you want, because you see, he's answering their question. Because remember, the word birth had not come. Because the word birth had not come, there was still what? They still had to ride out the progressive word. Jesus was still progressing in his message. The message was not established yet. They had to go all the way. Until what? Until the Word was rejected. Until the Word resurrected. And until the Word brought them to tarry on high in Jerusalem. So notice what Jesus tells them. How do we do the works of God? Well, you need to pray more, brother. How do we do the works of God? Well, if you loved your brother better, you'd have works of God. He didn't say that. Well, you better know your fivefold ministry. Who's who? You better have a favorite pastor. You might want this or that, but no. To manifest the Word, they would have to receive the Word. The only way they could show forth Christ was to ride out with the true Word the whole time and to follow the commission the Word gave them. And that is what He told them. So I look at you today and you look at me and we say, brother, sister, where are we at? Is this the coming of Christ? Is this the time that God is wanting a move? It's past the time God's wanting a move. I mean, could you imagine? God sent the prophet 45 years ago, 50 years ago. Amazing. And here we are, this long. And we say, well, I've got the message of the hour. Where's Christ at? If we've received Christ, remember, we're not made. We know that there's a famine prophesied for this day. But we were made to live through that, but to rise above that with an eagle anointing. You are made to have the works of God. But God knew that you would have to receive the Word. All the Word. Not half of it, not three quarters of it. All the Word. Now, I'm going with you somewhere this morning, if we can just get to it. Because every time you look at it, it's coming down to reception. Do you receive God or not? Will you receive God? Now notice John 1:11 here. He said it came to his own and his own received him not. Okay? We understand that's what Israel did. They rejected Jesus Christ. Now in the 12th verse it says, but as many as received him. It's coming down to receiving again. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So notice, even the 70 that left him had power. But this must not be the same power. Now notice this, the word power here is exousia. And it means authority, right, liberty, jurisdiction, and strength. Now, like how it says the power of choice. Gave them power to be the sons of God. The power of choice. That's why Peter couldn't run off. That's why nobody could run off, because the power, they received Christ and he gave them the ability to make the right choices at the right time. There was no running away. There was no hiding away. When the word was fulfilled, you still seen them there. Praise God. Well, there is a word that has been instilled for this day. There is a power that's been given to the church in this day. But a lot of times we say, okay, God, what is that power? Because we read this and we say, he gave them power to be sons of God. Well, that means I'm speaking in tongues. That means I'm prophesying. Did you notice that one of the definitions of that word was liberty? Now notice this as well. We have the power of the choice, but it also says physical and mental power. Gave them power to be the sons of God. The ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises. And lastly, the power of authority and of right. Have the authority. Don't you know how powerful it is to be a son of God? Am I losing you this morning? Are you with me this morning? Because notice, he says, as many as have received him. Received what? When Christ comes to Israel as a nation, he gave them the opportunity to receive him. When he started to preach, they started saying he's crazy. It got smaller. And then what? Then it came next around where he had his ministers. And what? It come to a place where there is what? A discrepancy with the word that only the disciples could make the cut. Well, you know what your prophet said. He had three poles in his ministry. Now notice, in finishing this off very quickly here, he says in the 13th verse, so where's your power real quick? Where's your power? You have the power to follow the word. Because where is the real power? You say, I want the works. No, no, no. The power comes in the word. And when you're in the word, then when you're where you need to be with that word I'm talking about, don't worry, it will manifest. Peter, John, all them, they still went to the upper room. But you know what? Before that, they were a bunch of cowards hiding away. Don't worry about your great stand on God today. You worry about getting with the word, amen. Because if you get with that word, there's a God who has designated a power to stand in what? Stand in the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't you understand? If you are established in the word, you don't have to worry about a squeeze. I talk to people in the message, everybody's up in the squeeze right now. Ain't the squeeze I've been reading about. You can't handle the pressure of false doctrine, the pressure of people not liking you, the pressure from the devil fighting you in the mind, and you're going to overcome the squeeze? He said in that time, you'll be squeezed out.
Right.
Of what? I'll tell you what, you'll be squeezed out of your house. You'll be squeezed out of your job.
Yeah.
You'll be squeezed out of this church because, they're, you know what? We're giving them nice painted walls for that ammunition.
Right.
That's all right. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because that is when the word will fully manifest in us.
Amen.
Think about it. The word himself, he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But he didn't need a place to lay his head. He had a ministry from God, and God established every day. He didn't have to worry about foxes coming after him. He had to worry about bears or lions or anything. He was the Word. He controlled destiny. Didn't matter if they're sleeping in the wilderness or where they're at. God is right with them. This is the same Jesus Christ that your scripture says what? It says he would go up to him and he would deliver the word to the Pharisees. He'd say, I am the word, I'm one. And they say, we're taking stones up and we're going to take you down. And what I love about the Bible says, but he escaped out of their midst. It didn't even matter if they took stones up.
Right.
If the word was predestinated for crucifixion. Jesus Christ knew what his death would be. Therefore, he did not have to worry about any other death. And if you are the bride of Jesus Christ, you should know that you have been ordained for a rapture. When's the body change? The body changes now. Hallelujah. Oh God. Am I going to die, God? What does the word say? Well, that's the thing. What is the Holy Ghost revealing to you? Has it opened up? You know, what does the Bible say? It says, who hath known the mind of God that he can give him counsel? Anybody here? But the scripture says, but we have the mind of Christ. Well, what does the mind of Christ manifest for your attribute? I mean, do you really think St. Martin said, oh, I'm going to flip my coins here, tie me up to that tree? He was so moved by the mind of God that he said, tie me up to the tree and let her drop.
Right.
And he already knew he's going to be on the top side.
Right.
But it's that simple. You see how we need to get closer to God?
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, like I said, I'm going a direction with this. But I want you to understand that when you receive him, when God accepts that, okay, God ain't gonna, God don't want a half. He don't want no half out receiving. When you take God and say, God, I want all of you. God, I want you to tear down my groves, my high places. Take my idols out of my life. When God accepts that, those he gave power to be the sons of God.
Amen.
Oh, what do I choose? What do I choose? What do I choose? You're an attribute of God. Now understand, your prophet said, oh, I got to sweat things out too. But do you understand the age we're living in? Now, like I said, I'm going somewhere with this. And maybe I should just jump in there and just start running. Maybe I just will. But I want to finish this scripture real quick in the 13th verse, John 1, 13. It says, which were born. Now, who were born? The sons of God. Which were born, not of blood. Nor of the will of flesh. Me and my wife. She's expecting another one. I didn't plan it. She didn't plan that. God planned it. But we thought we planned it. We thought we planned it. That's not what this says. This says God planned it. I'm not born of blood. That holds no weight to the birth of the Spirit. There must be a baptism of the Holy Ghost that overcomes me and makes me a prisoner. But notice here, it says, nor of the will of flesh
nor of the will of man, but of God. You were an accident. You know what? You know how nosy people in message are? You know what I'm talking about? People in message, they've done several times to us. They come and said, oh, did you plan this one? So I didn't want to hear you say it's an accident. And they come and ask you, and then they, you know, they're just holding on to that. They want to hear what you're going to tell them. What if we raise up to the sons of God? Did you plan it? God did. Amen. Take that rumor. Oh, they had another accident. Ain't worried about that game. Some sort of carnal game. God ordained this church. God ordained your life. God ordained you being here today. There ain't no one that can take that away. It's all God. God gave you the gas to get here. God gave you safe traveling mercies. God what? He gave you the strength to wake up. The love of God to come. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Don't you understand how predestinated you are? So predestinated that sometimes it looks like you're not even making your own choices. But that's what it is. He gave them power to be the sons of God. I know what the word is. I'll walk by that word. I'll stand with that word. Amen. I've got the liberty. Now what if we did this? We said, okay. But as many as received him, to them gave he liberty to become the sons of God. To them he gave authority to be sons of God. To them he gave the power of choice to be sons of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, we're just going to move into this a little bit. Because like I said, I'm working with Pergamos here now. I'm taking a little sidestep here, but I wanted to establish this before I start moving into this. Because you have to understand how powerful this church age book is. I've heard from all sorts of people. I've even talked to brothers on the phone. And you mentioned something about the church age. You go, You can feel the spirit of confusion against that. Right. Well, I don't know. Then they get their little message lingos going. Well, you know, he said, stay with the tapes, not the book. What? Oh. Now, like I said, I'm heading this direction in Pergamos this morning because I want you to understand, when was the church age book released? It was released right at his death almost. Right. This was a message to go on past the prophet, but all it was the same as the original message delivered. But there was what? There was things in here that the church needed to make a rapture. Now, notice this, brother, if you bring up Church Age Book, page 170-4. Now, this is moving into Pergamos here. And now, this is my favorite part. And the amazing thing is, as much as I've read this thing, I always noticed different writing, but I never really caught what was going on. I mean, I did, but I didn't. And like I said, I've never preached on it, so that's just something too. But notice here, at the end of 1965, this thing's released. And here we say, we have this big argument. Is this thing inspired or is it not inspired? Well, I don't know. And then 170-4, he says, one night, as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me, to pick up my pen and write. Yeah, I don't believe this book's inspired. Well, you are discounting this. Now notice, he says, and as I grasped the pen to write, his spirit gave me a message for the church. And when was this released? When the prophet passed from the scene and Joshua, the Holy Ghost, was to pick up the church. So this is a message that's given to the church for when he's gone. Now, I don't want to sound crazy, but you know what? If somebody tells me something's from God, I don't care if he's Baptist, Jehovah Witness. I don't care if he's a Muslim. I want to listen to it. I can judge if it's a word or not. Praise God. But when somebody says something come from God, that's something we really need to take a hold of. And now we have this. Now, what's interesting about this little passage here, is we find that it goes from page 170 all the way to page 176. So it's actually six pages that are given to do with a special message given to the bride at the prophet's departure. Okay, now let me finish this quote. He said, and as I grasped the pen to write, his spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the word and the bride. So we first get the purpose of the reason why this is written. The reason why this inspiration come to the prophet is because it was a message about the word and the bride. Not just the word, not just the bride, but the word and the bride. So it's about the husband and the wife. So, picking up on this, 171-1 says, here's what I am trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its kind. Even according to Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Here is what I'm trying to say to you about the word and the bride. That the law of reproduction holds true. That every seed will bring forth after its kind. Well, serpent seed is getting pretty important now, isn't it? Now, notice, this is revelation to the church. This is something we better say, okay, I'm paying attention to this. And it says, whatever life was in the seed come forth into the plant and thence into the fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. Now, I want you to catch this. He says, whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. Amen. So we got a church. Is this a bride church? Is this a serpent church? Well, if it's a serpent church, I'm quitting. I'm going somewhere else. But if it's a bride church, have we realized the origination of this church? Because if this comes from God, then it's God's church. Well, let me see this, the roots of this thing. Brother Jesse, Brother Brooks. So notice, in these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church. 65, 77. Where is the fulfillment of this? Where is the super church? Isn't that amazing? Look at the Tower of Babel. God had to go down and confuse their language. Because why? He said there's such a unity there. He said that anything that they put their mind to, they would have it. You know what that was? That was a super church. It wasn't God's church, but it was a super church. They're working on the lines of Babel, which Babel means confusion. But yet we see here that still, because they're in such an accord, they could have anything they wanted. They wanted to build a tower to God. What's wrong with that? Well, we say, I want to climb Jacob's ladder. We sing the song. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And they're over here saying, we are climbing the Tower of Babel. Well, I'm climbing to God. They're climbing to God. But yet, within that super church was a super satanic motive. But notice, like I said, the reason why I'm saying all this is because if you are a super church, you will have to come to the same thing. God had to what? Suspend the unity. What do you think God's going to do if he finds a church with the Word of God that'll stand together in that kind of unity? Amen. Here's what I'm trying to say. He'll make you a super church. Can you work together? Can you love one another? Can you pray for one another? Can you stand in the gap for one another? Can you be there for one another?
Amen.
Super church.
Amen.
Why aren't we seeing it? Where's the super church? Where is the super church? Let alone a super race. You know, they're talking about Nephilim and all these other things, these giants and all that, and they're talking about these super race. And the whole time they're telling you and I about it, and we are the super race. I was just talking to a brother in the message, and he believes giants are in holes, and they come out whenever they want to, but they're a super race, and they're getting ready to expose themselves. I'm the super race. You're the super race. He's the super race, and he don't even need to come out of no hole. Wait a minute. Was Goliath a super race? The this super race could be a small portion of that size. And the super race, anointed by the hand of God, would take a sling and five stones and go and take the head of that Philistine off. That is a super race. A super race is not what you look at. Well, he's the tallest one among us. Oh, he's the smartest one among us. That's not a super race. My question is, if these things are a super race, why in the world are they hiding in a hole anyway? Even King Kong showed himself. And he had a monkey brain. Right? It's coming down to what it is. That's why your prophet said, he said that they would imagine ants the size of buildings. They'd be so gone in their mind into these intellectual thoughts, into these superstitions and so forth, these creeds and dogmas, till they'd forget what they are. But you are the super race. You are the super seed. And here we have this portion that's given to you to tell you about the Word and the Bride. This isn't while he's there. This is what? Published after, basically after he left to give to you. Oh, Lord Jesus. So notice this. I didn't even read that whole sentence. But notice it says, and she will be the super church, super race, as she nears him. That's key. That is absolutely key. Boy, how far are we? Well, the good thing is a burning bush can change things pretty fast. But by the grace of God, you know what? God can knock a prophet off a horse with a pillar of fire. God can come and knock you off your horse with a pillar of fire. And God can what? Bring you close to him. You say, brother, how close? Wait a minute. I thought, I've talked to people in message. Oh, yeah, we've seen more than we've ever seen before. Look at the great unity that's building up. Look at this and look at that. What are we talking about here? I'm not trying to bring disunity or try to do something here. But I'm trying to let you know that I don't see what I want to see because I evidence what I see by this and the Word of God. Primarily the Word of God. If the capstone's in your midst, shouldn't you be acting like the capstone's there? I mean, we're so dead and starchy, we can't even say hi to nobody. So dead and starchy, we can't even pray and fast for one another. Oh, Laodicea. Now, finishing off there. He says, they and the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. Who did this come from? It's come from God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You look like Jesus? You'll take on the image. Now, you have to understand here. Ain't all of us going to look like we're the same thing. Right. If you understand what I'm saying, we're going to look like the image of the Word. It's going to be pretty hard to make me and Brother Romero look exactly alike. Twice as handsome as I am, you know, taller. It's just hard to do, you know. But that's all right. God's got to keep me humble. But, you know, the thing about it is that what if when they looked at Romero And they looked at me. They said, I see Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just for some preacher to look like Jesus Christ. This move is not made for preachers. This move is made for the body of Jesus Christ in mystical form. You are the Messiah. You are the Word made manifest in this day. Manifest today. Manifest. You're made known. Okay? Christ is making you known. What do you look like? I mean, I really want to bring this home. Because do you get it? I understand every one of us adds a uniqueness to the church. But do you understand the fullness of this reasoning? That although Brother Simon's kind of funny, and some of you may not be funny, he looks like Jesus Christ and you look like Jesus Christ. Although this brother may be a hard worker, and this brother, well, you know what? He's always on time. Should I make that a little bit better? He's always early. Because we're always on time. But old Living Waters Tabernacle, we might be right on time. When we should be a little early. Amen. Right? Amen. But notice, you have to look the same. If you don't look like Jesus Christ, then what? It shows that He is not nearing you. I ain't talking about being theologians. I'm talking about an atmosphere. When you lose so much of your atmosphere that the Word Himself projects His atmosphere from you. There should be a pillar of fire up in here. Because so many people are under the same influence of Christ. That God Himself is pleased to dwell here. Now, God wouldn't ordain Holy Ghost-filled pastors if He didn't have a Holy Ghost church somewhere for them to be. Nor would God have a Holy Ghost church somewhere that couldn't have a Holy Ghost-filled pastor. Nor is this just a continental divide and that's all in Asia or all in Africa or South America or over in this country? Well, you know, you see, that's what the Catholic Church does. They got all their people down in South America. That's where the vast majority of them are at. Y'all look at the statistics of America. Ooh. Actually, ooh. But it doesn't matter because they're still changing the perspective of what you are. You are diabolical now. You are wicked. You stand against homosexuality. You stand against these and these and these. You know what? Do you really think that they don't know what they're doing? They know what they're doing. And it doesn't matter how super you call it, because you are the super church and the super race. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to go too far with this, but evidently I am. It says, this is in order to be united with Him. So notice the whole purpose for you looking the image of Jesus Christ is to what? Is to what? Make you in order to be united with Him. Christ cannot unite with anything else but the Word. Which is why this is important, because how can you expect to live less than Jesus Christ and to go to Jesus Christ? If he was the word when he come out, he was the word when he went back.
Amen.
If you come out as the word, you'll go back as the word. So how many of you are the word? We should all be a word. We should all be living like this. We should all be overcoming. We should be fighting battles for one another. We should always have an arm to reach out. God, get us away from Laodicea, God. Brother, there's 6 pages in this message to the church, and you only read 2 paragraphs. Yeah. It's your message. This message is to you. We don't put a church age book up on a shelf when God has ordained that to be a power to you. You know what I'm saying? We say, oh, brother, we say, oh, I wish there was a prophet here to prophesy or a dreamer to give me a dream. When God comes down and settles his word right here with what you are. So, maybe we'll close in a little bit here. It says, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. You will. Denominations can't produce this. Wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word. They mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. Amen. Now notice very quickly here, 171-4, it says, from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is virgin of his word. She is virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. You say, I'm in the message. There's creeds in this message. There's dogmas in this message. There's stereotypes in this message. There's discriminations in this message. Notice. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. So what shares that to you? The word of God does. Move a mountain. Move a mountain. In a pep talk, it's who you are.
Amen.
If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and don't doubt in your heart, then ye shall have what you say.
Amen.
You're the virgin. You're the bride of Jesus Christ. Boy, it sounds like a pep talk. But it's what you are. This is God's pep talk.
Amen. Amen.
This is you, team. Maybe we shouldn't go that far.
Amen.
Never changes the wording from church to team. So we'll stay with church, okay? So notice here, in finishing off, it says the word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but the word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel's message was the word of God. Isaiah 9:6, he fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. So what does the word say to you? Does it say bride? Because if it says bride, that's what you are. Does it say rapture? Then rapture is what you are. Notice here that you find the scripture talking about Mary in Luke 1:37. The angel comes to her and says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." 38th verse. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. What she did to show that she was the fulfillment, she said, "Be it unto me according to this word." That's all she had to say. What else did she do? Did she look in the mirror and say, "I'm pretty enough"? Did she say, "Well, I don't know if you're really him"? She what? It quickened. The word materializing struck her, and she progressed right with the prophecy. But it wasn't 2 weeks before that. It wasn't a year before that. That was a predestinated season. She just had to be ready to move on with the fulfillment of the word. Just like you, church, you are made for a word fulfillment. Greater works shall they do because I go to the Father, John 14:12. That's your word. You are the fulfillment. Oh, I love it how the prophet said it. You know your prophet said, he said there's many virgins in that day wanting to be that virgin. But they weren't that virgin. Now you tell me. If Mary accepted that word, there had to be a deep calling out that said she was that word. She must have been one of them ones saying, "I'm that virgin." She knew who she was! She had that deep thing moving behind her. Without the Holy Ghost? Well, you forgot, that's a seed. Amen. The seed was bringing forth its own kind. Amen. Like I said, how many times you got to talk about it? David, a little boy taking on a bear, a young man taking on a lion, and he wasn't scared. How many people you know see a guy with a machine gun, and they're standing here with nothing in their hand, and the guy's aiming right at them, and they walk right towards them and say, "You're done"? Well, how many of you would do that? Well, that's what David did. How many of you? You walk into the army, see everybody chicken. See, nobody wanted to step up. And you understand why? Because you look out and you see a big giant over there. How many of you here? You Jewish dogs? You Israelite dogs? Oh, it's on now. It's on now. What was it? They were moving into the word. Let me say it like this. They're working into their word. Because they were the word manifesting what was already said and done about them. Because you know when this book was written, it was written from the foundation of the world. So all they had to do was walk out and do it. Oh, it's so hard. Greater works shall you do. Okay? Do it. Do you really realize that your prophet, when he was walking down the street, seeing women with that makeup on, remember that situation? And literally, he walked up to him and said, "Hey," he said, "I pray for the sick." He said, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Nothing's wrong with us. We just got makeup on." I'm paraphrasing that, okay? Make it quick, because I'll go all day if you let me. But literally, that prophet knew God was a healer, and he knew he prayed for the sick. and he's seen a condition and said, can I pray for you? Isn't that amazing? In this message, we got people on pills and IVs and oxygen and everything else, and there ain't nobody walking around saying, my God's a healer, and I pray for the sick. Well, that was the seventh angel. Well, wait a minute. All that was a type of the wave sheaf. Because it wasn't a prophet to begin with. It was the gift of the Holy Ghost in that prophet. Or he would have been a false prophet. And remember the title of wave sheaf. What was wave sheaf? When Israel made their harvest, they took a bundle of the first wheat and they waved it in front of all the people, showing that the rest of them that would come after them would be just like them. What kind of people would people think you would be? You know what I'm saying. You can't even walk into Walmart with seeing somebody walking like this or seeing somebody with a gas mask on or something. What kind of people would you be perceived to be? I'm bringing something your way because this is, I didn't even preach my notes today. But I got a couple quotes. But what kind of people would you be perceived to be? If you even walked in Walmart, unbeliever, you walked up and said, boy, you look like you're hurting. Can I pray for you? My God's a healer, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't look so good. Is there any way I can pray for you? What are they going to say? No, I like being sick. Or I don't believe in that. Well, let them say that.
Right.
Because remember, what are you perceived to be?
What
if they let you pray for them, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father? These aren't greater works. That's more of the same.
Right.
Where are we going to start at?
Amen.
We in the message, we have this idea, this ideal that literally we're going to do jack squat but sit around in a dead church and let nothing happen, and then God's going to say, speak the word. Without 1 ounce of you acting like a son or daughter of God.
Mom.
Outside of, well, I believe the word.
Amen.
When are you going to act like the word?
Amen.
You know what Jesus did? Jesus went to that island where there's a man that needed help.
Mom.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Is this a rebuke? Yes, look at my back. It's hurting me too. But that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to you. You would be perceived to be a Christian, wouldn't you? Would you be considered to be a fanatical Christian? Yeah, I'm getting some yeses. We know what that means? It means exactly what Paul said. He said, I worship my God, the God of my fathers, in a way in which they call heresy. You flutter your little ego wings. You might even have some say, yep, this is that Paul that turned the world upside down.
Amen.
Do we want to be the word or not?
Amen.
I know this ain't popular message preaching. Good thing it's not my notes. But it's that simple. And I'm finishing this real quick. In Luke 1:44, it says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, this is Elizabeth talking to Mary, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So even another daughter of God looking at Mary, she perceived that she believed.
Amen.
And the revelation struck. And she said, because you believe, there's going to be a performance of the things in which you said you believed. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know what performance means? It's an execution or completion of anything. A performance? I don't care how long you've been in the message. I don't care what you have or have not seen. When are you going to become the Word? You just got to want it. That's all there is to it. You just got to want it. I want people to know about Jesus Christ. You got to want it. I'm going to be persecuted. No, no. You don't want people to know about Jesus Christ then. You say, I want people to know about Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to believe this. Because you know what? This is my universe, not theirs. If there's serpent seed, this wasn't made for them. It was made for them, but they won't accept it. He's long-suffering. They all would come to repentance. But you know what? They don't want it. So what are you going to do? Let them. Is this their playground? Can you imagine? You let somebody come to your house, and you got a playground for your kids, and you let them come in and dictate what happens on your playground? What you're doing? I don't care if you're one in there 400. Didn't matter, Shamgar. He got tired of them coming up on his playground and what decided that what was his, he was going to keep it. I'm tired of starving. The Philistines are coming. I'm tired of starving. Where's that ox goat at? To as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Where's the power? Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that full manifestation. I'm talking about what the Word is. This is what the Word does. It heals. It does all those things. But it has to first be received as the Word. Well, here's my question to you. Have you received yourself as the Word? Because if you have received yourself as the Word, you'll act just like the Word. So you know what a lot of problem is? We don't know who we are. Who are we? We're the Word. Looks like we better act like it now, huh? Now, as we close, Pergamene Church Age 172-3, brother, says, those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. You can only do the will of God. Wait, this is a message given straight from God about you and Jesus Christ. You only do my will. But Jesus said, you're only going to do my will. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. You know what I find so ironic about that? Is that we know the prophet has, thus saith the Lord. But here this is given, and we understand this actually comes from Spoken Words Original Seed in 62. Kind of, sort of. But the same principle. But by the grace of God, notice, thus saith the Lord, is moved into your hands. Okay? Was there ever a thus saith the Lord said that didn't come to pass? I know that's a kind of a gray area. But should there have ever been a thus saith the Lord outside of a prophet's inability to maintain the promise that would come to pass? Because it was the spoken word of God out of the lips of clay only brought forth to manifest the word. And now you have thus saith the Lord. What's coming out of your mouth? It doesn't mean you don't talk no more. It means you're the word. Let's act like the word. God help us. Oh Lord, I feel like such a failure. Don't worry. Your time's coming. But you have to grip something. Because this is what the word does. We are the word, right? We look more like his image the more closer he comes. He's almost here. You look like the word. Notice, they know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. The only one who can bring forth the works out of you is God. And it has to fulfill his word. That's good. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. That's a powerful statement. Jesus Christ did not fulfill all the works he desired to do while in his fleshly body. And he didn't. Why? Because he wanted to fulfill them through you. Oh, we're quiet. Have I been that long? Or are you just feeling as rebuked as I am? So now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. So he's got to do certain things at certain times. So he needs a certain person to get a certain leading, to do a certain something, to fulfill all his plans while he's gone. Oh my. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. He will now fulfill that work. That was for this specific time. Lord. I love God. Amen. Don't you love this message? Don't you love who you are? Because if you are the Word, you know what? You should have felt pricked by that. Amen. Because you know you're something that you're not supposed to be. You know that you need to become something higher, closer. Because you know what you're saying? You're saying I have identified what the word is, and I am not what that word says it is. But I know that word, and I want to be that word. Let's stand. Now, when you get home, whenever, page 170, 176. Read a little bit about yourself, what God promised you, what God showed you, what you are. This is what you are. See how rebuking this is? We have the great opportunity to flip this world upside down. And we know it's going to happen. But we're just sitting on our coattails. We're getting held back by ourselves. Ain't nobody else holding us back. We're holding ourselves up. Oh, God, help us. You love God? I know it might have been a little bit hard. How many would say this morning, say, God, bring the word out of this virgin. God, take the creeds, take the dogmas, take anything that's not like you in my life, God. And I'll dedicate myself to you right now, God. Let the word live inside of me. I know what Jesus Christ looked like. I know what his word said he was. I know, God, through this message, I've seen so much about Jesus Christ. I know more details about him than any other church age before, God. But Lord, I want that detail to be inside of me, God. The genuine detail, Lord. Forgive me for my unbelief, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, Lord, perhaps, Lord, we just did our best, Lord, to get out of the way and let you say what you wanted to say, God. But, Lord, as we look at, Lord, what you spoke, God, Lord, it is time for the Word to be made flesh again, God. And Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, that we cannot do it, Lord, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost living fully and freely within us, God. We want that power, God. The power of this authority, God. Lord, the power, not any power that we control, God, but we allow you to control it, Lord. Oh God, control these beings, God. Make us prisoners, God. Oh God, make us love slaves to you, Lord God. Oh God, we want to serve you with all our heart, God. We don't want to be ashamed or afraid of this gospel in any way, God. Lord, make us fanatics, God. Lord, we're tired of seeing baseball fanatics and all these other fanatics, God. Lord, let us be Christian fanatics, God. Jesus fanatics. Give us strength, Lord, as we realize you gave this message for this bride after 65, God. Work in our lives, God. Bring us close to home, Lord. Lord, let us look like your very image, Lord. We just pray you'd allow it to become, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, we're happy to pray with you today. If you need something from God, don't be ashamed. Don't hold back. It's your God. You do what he tells you to do. Don't be afraid of God. God loves you. God wants you to manifest himself. Amen. I just pray God help us because we got so far to go and so little time to do it. But thank God that something deep inside is saying that it's still going to happen. God ain't through with me yet. Let's just sing a song as we invite Brother Dave back up here. Let's just sing that song again. I need more of you, God. That's just the way it's got to be, Lord. And I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me. And all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. Hallelujah. To the finish. And I need more of you in me. And I need more of you.
That's just the way it's got to be. I need more.
Lord, we love you, Father. Sing that song, The Heart of Worship.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search, Lord. You search much deeper within. About
let's just sing that song, My Chains Are Gone, amen. If you need to be dismissed, you can be, amen.
And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, dear.